Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
Sidebar with Cindy.
Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Sidebar with Cindy.
On Kaya FM 95.9.
Kaya FM 95.9, home of the Afropolitan. Welcome to another week of Sidebar Cindy with me, Cindy Siwe Fanseil. And this evening, we're commemorating International Girl Child Day, which was on Friday, the 11th of October. So tonight, I'll be speaking to four young girls about issues, what's on their mind, what makes them tick, what are their plans for the future. Stay tuned for Sidebar Cindy.
Medical issues, sex and family,
finance, parenting and emotional development.
Sidebar with Cindy.
Sidebar with Cindy.
Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
You're listening to Sidebar with Cindy with me, Cindy Fanseil. If you're listening to us from outside of Gauteng, you can tune in on DSTV's audio bouquet, channel 861, or you can go to kayafm.co.za and listen live. You can also listen to the previous shows. Go to kayafm.co.za and click on FM Rewind, and the podcasts are uploaded there. So tonight's show is about the girl child, and I'm joined in studio by Oratile Komane. She's 17 years old, Humutso Rapata, who's 16 years old, and Lohima Fatla, who's 19. We'll also have Usihle Ndlovu, a 16-year-old, who'll be joining us on the line. And we're speaking about the girl child. So on December 19, in 2011, the United Nations General Assembly adopted a resolution to declare October 11 as the International Day of the Girl Child. And this day is to recognize girls' rights and the unique challenges that girls face around the world. And this is why we're having this show on today, because the Girl Child Day was on Friday. So I'll be taking your calls on 086-000-959, and you can SMS us on 36959. The hashtags on social media are Sidebar Cindy and Kaya FM Talk. So before we start taking your calls, I'd like to welcome the young ladies to the studio. Welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll start with the introductions. I think everyone must just introduce themselves. Who are you? How old are you? And what are you currently doing? So we'll start over there.
My name is Bontle Wote. I am 14 years old, and my passion is actually becoming an actress, and so I go to NSA.
National School of the Arts.
Yes.
Oh, great. That's in Braamfontein.
Yes.
This is lots of fun.
Very.
Hi, I'm Oratile Komane, and I am surprisingly also a radio presenter at my school radio station in Red Hill, Morningside, and I'm 17 years old.
And what are your plans for the future? You want to be on radio?
Eventually, if it happens, if the opportunities present themselves. But if not, then I am looking into science and, yeah, medicine.
Oh, great.
Hi, I'm Humutso Rapata. I'm 16 years old, and I go to Holy Family College in Parktown. And I would actually like to join the army.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And when did you make this decision?
Well, the army has everything, and it's like everything's for free there. So like, why
and
not?
How do you know this? How do you know that everything is for free in the army?
Well, I did my research,
okay.
And my dad was like, yeah, you must go to the army, hey? And I was like, yeah, sure, no problem.
That's very interesting. But no, welcome to the show. And as I said earlier on, I mean, we're having this show to commemorate the International Day of the Girl Child, and obviously to recognize girls' rights and the unique challenges faced by young women all around the world. So, you know, okay, so I've heard a bit about your future plans, but, you know, we'll start off with a few questions, and I'll start off as a parent. I want to ask a parenting question. So what are your ideas about parenting in the 21st century? I mean, you all have parents or caregivers, and how's it going?
Well, from my perspective, my parents are kind of old school, but trying to shift into this new age parentinghood. And it's quite difficult because they don't understand where I come from most of the time. So every time I ask for certain things, they're like, why are you doing this? And I'm like, but times are not the same from when you guys were young. So I feel like they should just be aware that times have changed and kind of try and accommodate for our generation.
Okay, so how old are your parents, if you don't mind me asking?
My mom is 45.
Yes. She's nearly my age. We're old school, wow.
My dad is 53. 1, 2.
Okay, so Maoti, they, you know, they're kind of old school. Give me an example of one old school thing that they've done.
Okay, my dad is like the type to... Ufitla kontlunga 6. The gate gets locked.
Is there anything wrong with that?
Okay, there's nothing wrong, but when I ask to go to a birthday party that's happening in the evening, then I just expect them to kind of give me a bit of leeway and be like, okay, you can go just for once in a while because it's a birthday party, but it's a no-go area for them. It's like, no, birthday parties happen in the afternoon. Finish and learn. So,
so you've missed out on most evening birthday parties?
Not really, because my mom lets me go.
Okay, and then what time do what is a reasonable time to get back?
10:30.
10, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's not bad. So do you get picked up or do you get dropped off?
My parents insist on having my friends' parents picking me up and dropping me off.
That's fair enough.
It's not, because it's they're hosting the event. They are going to be catering for food and everything. So it only... seems fair for my parents to drop me off and pick me up.
And have you discussed this with them?
They don't want to hear it.
Typical.
Well, my mom used to drop me off. And I must admit, I used to find it extremely embarrassing when she did that. Because other kids' parents didn't do that. So I know a little bit of how you're feeling. Yeah. You know, but when one day when you're in our shoes, you'll do the same thing. So it's almost like, you know, you complain, then you turn 43, then you've got a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old, and you're doing the same thing. So you'll see when you get there. And what do you think of your parents?
My mom and dad are two different people. My mom is like the fun one out of both of them. And she's like someone I can talk to. She's like my best friend. She's someone like I can say, Mommy, I want to go here. And then she'll be like, okay, what time does this thing end? And what time should I come fetch you? And she's the one who actually, if I want to go for an audition, she'll be the one who takes me. And she actually helps me with my passions and my dreams, and she makes them come true.
That's so special. And your dad, this acting thing is not his cup of tea.
Not that it's not his cup of tea, but it's not like he has time to go and take me to auditions. And yeah, it's not like he... Not that he doesn't care, but yeah...
Okay. And Umama being your best friend, I mean, do you guys talk about everything?
Yes, everything. Yeah.
That's very special. I didn't tell my mom a lot of things.
I don't tell my mom a lot of things.
I tell her mom. Well, look, your mom's going to be asking you what a lot of things are. She's making notes of all the things that you're saying. But that's special. I mean, I don't think many teenagers can say that their mommies are their best friends. I mean, I know that my mom and I never spoke about a lot of things. I mean, I knew a lot of stuff, but we didn't speak about sex. We spoke about boyfriends once in a while, only when I was heartbroken. But generally, I just found stuff out on my own. And so your mom and you discussed like everything under the sun.
Everything.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how old is Mama?
Yo.
I think she's 36. Yo, she's 38.
Okay. Well, she's quite a new school mom. That's very nice. And your parents?
Well, my mom and my dad are like, it's almost the same person. They are the same age. They are 43 years old. Yeah, 43.
I love how you guys keep looking at your mummies. I mean, surely you should know your mummy's birthday.
No, like, I know when she's born. I don't know how old she is.
Exactly. So, like, my mom was the kind of person that's like, okay, I can talk to you and stuff, but, like, I mustn't disrespect you. Like, there's a limit, you know.
And that's very important.
Exactly, you see. You can't just, like, talk to your mother the way you want to. She's not your friend. She can be, but she's, like, your mother. So you have a certain limit.
There's a fine line. Yeah.
Exactly. There's a fine line. Even though we talk about everything, like, yo, Mama, you know, today what's about this other boy was looking at me like so. And then with my dad, it's like, it's the same. But like sometimes I feel like my dad is like a child. Like this is college, oh my God. He's like the exact replica of me. It's so annoying because we both stubborn. No. It's fine, sharp, fine.
And then like, afterwards you forgive each other and you
exactly.
get on with it.
Yeah, he's hilarious. He's so funny. Oh my God. But they're like both understanding, which sometimes I find annoying because like my friends, KG, can we please swap parents, bro? Your parents are so understanding. Aww. Like I don't understand. I'm like, yo, you don't know the half of it, okay? I must like negotiate for a party 3 weeks before. Like, Mama, I'm not gonna die. Can I please go, please? Like, And then, yeah. But
so you go to most, parties. Mm. Okay. So let's talk about social media. Before we chat to Sitle, let's talk a bit about social media and cell phones and so on. So how old were you when you got a cell phone?
Ten.
Okay, so were you under pressure from your peers, or mama and dad felt it was okay, it's time because we need to keep in touch with you?
I think it was peer pressure, because like everybody had a phone then. It's like, mm-hmm. Can I please have a phone, please? And then I got it, and I was like, okay, now what do I do?
And do they monitor it?
Well, these surprise monitors, you know, those ones that give you random
checks.
No, it's weird, because then a year passes and then half a year passes. Let me see your phone. Oh my God.
The chat's on there.
It's like, delete everything. Yeah, so they don't really, because they trust me, so then they don't check. So unless I'm showing them something like, yeah, mama, look at this picture. Then she swipes.
Oh my gosh, God. Like, where are you going?
Don't swipe. Just stay at the picture. You can zoom in, zoom out.
So do you find that invasive or you know, how do you feel about that?
Okay, I use my mom's phone a lot, so I think it's only fair that she uses mine also, right? But then if I show you a picture, do not swipe left or right. Please.
Just look at that.
Please. No, I don't know what you might find. I don't know what.
How old were you when you got a phone?
I was 14, and it was a similar situation, peer pressure. Mm. But then... yeah, they didn't want to buy me a phone.
That's how we all feel, right? It's very scary.
I actually got handed down my sister's phone.
Mm-hmm. That's the way to go.
No, it wasn't even my dad's phone. It was like those old phones, like the BlackBerries.
I use a BlackBerry, ma'am. So people
say about BlackBerry.
But the older version of BlackBerry. And my parents don't believe in cellular devices. They're like, no, what do you need it for? So they only get it for communication, so to call. They even wanted to give me the one that without like WhatsApp and everything. To just be able to call, send SMS, be like, okay, ma, I'm done at school, please come fetch me. And yeah, that was it. So my actual first port phone I got was last year.
Okay. And monitoring, do they keep an eye on what you're doing on your phone?
My parents trust me. Mm-hmm. They don't really monitor my phone. My dad was the one who said, put a password on your phone, don't let anyone go to your phone. So I don't feel the need to hide anything. So I don't mind even when they come with the surprise checkups. I'm just like, okay, you can have my phone.
And you can take
like,
a look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they never take my phone away from me. So I'm just like, yeah.
Well, I think I was 10 when I got my phone. But with the social media thing, I started like when I was 13. Mm-hmm. Mom, with the checkup thing, my mom trusts me. It's like, if I show her a picture, she won't like swipe left or swipe right. Like, she won't come up with these surprise checkups because she understands, like, she's been a teenager before and she understands what teenagers go through and she trusts me. And because we talk about the right things, what I shouldn't do and what I should do. Mm-hmm. And so, with this whole social media thing, some of it was... peer pressure, because I also wanted to look cool and I wanted everyone else to know that I had a phone. Mm. And yeah,
so that fitting in, I mean, the pressure to fit in is, I think, something that we've all gone through as teenagers. Mm. You know, it affects some more than others, but it is a real thing.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I was chatting to my daughter. My daughter's 11, she's a tweenie, but she was speaking about weight and her thighs, and I mean, she's growing up and her body's insecure. Changing. Mm. But we had a long discussion about feeling insecure about how you're looking. I mean, some kids blossom quicker than others.
Yes.
You know, so and were you guys affected by you know, such insecurities? And if yes, how did you deal with it?
Well, I don't think it really goes away though. Mm-hmm. No matter what age you are, it doesn't really go away, because you have those moments, oh my God, I'm getting so fat, oh my God, I'm losing weight, any.
But if someone explains to you that it's part of adolescence, so you know, from 11, 12, 13, mm-hmm. your body starts padding out and it's nature, that's how it's meant to be, would that have made a difference to how you feel about your boobs growing and your bum growing and your hips growing, or it wouldn't have made a difference?
Not really.
No, because it's like your body. You, as like a teenage girl, obviously, like, no, it's my body. You don't know what I'm going through. Mm. It's like isolation, you know. Even though your mom was once a teenager, sometimes it just flies out the window and you're like, no, you don't understand it, you know. But then if like someone talks to you, at least you know that they understand mm-hmm. and they know what you're going through, like a guide almost. So it's kind of better, but yeah.
So body issues are a thing.
Yeah.
Very.
Especially in high school. I feel like it does help having someone tell you about these type of things. It kind of makes it a little bit easier and more durable because you're like, okay, this is what every girl goes through. So it's not like something bad is happening to me. It's just a stage that I'm going to experience in my life and will go through and, yeah, grow older and be fine.
Well, in high school, it's scary because there's so many other girls like, oh my gosh, she's got such a great body. Like, you ask yourself, what about me?
Why is my tummy fat? Why do I have bigger boobs?
Exactly.
Why is my bum bigger?
Like, why is that a nice body and why don't I have a nicer body?
Yeah. Like, I feel it's different for different people.
Yes.
It's how you define a perfect body, what a perfect body to be like.
It is, yeah.
People tell me I have a great body and I'm like, but you guys have nice bodies. You're right. Like, you have curves in the right places, you have small boobs, you have a small waist, so why can't I have that? And as much as I am skinny, I feel the pressure because it's like you have to keep this body even though I want a different body. So it's not like people saying I have a great body makes me
feel better about yourself. No, I get that. And would you stand up for someone who has been body shamed? So say I was a chubby teen, but I wasn't teased. But if I was in your school and I was teased, how would you handle that?
If I was teased,
if someone else was being teased, your friend was being teased.
Well, I'd stand up for them. Whoa, like I love my. Even if I didn't know you, like I do not tolerate bullying. It's disgusting to me.
Mm.
And if you're going to bully someone because you want to feel better about yourself, that's just
considering.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah.
It's actually very sad. And you have like your own issues. And if you're body shaming someone, it means you're insecure yourself. So, like, deal with your problems. I don't want to seem harsh, but that's how it is, you know? Deal with your problems so that you don't have to hurt others.
Yeah,
it's true. And it's not right.
And that's an age where what people say to you sticks. I always say to people that words stick, you know? If someone says, you're so fat or you've got so many pimples, you tend to keep those things more than you keep positive words. So it's good that you'd stand up for someone who's going through it. And I mean, girls can be very mean. I went to an all-girls boarding school and girls can be mean.
Girls are mean.
I think that's why I like hanging out with guys more than girls. Because girls gossip, girls speak
behind each other.
Okay, guys gossip, but like their gossip is like
a jokey way.
Yeah. Girls, they take it so seriously. It's like, who said this? Oh, Adila said this about this person. And I'm like, but why are you making it a big deal? Like, if we're talking amongst ourselves and everyone is there, then it's not gossiping. But girls tend to make a mountain out of a molehill.
So what, have there been any after school moments? Like, I will catch you after school.
After school is after school.
At any moment.
Yeah.
After school is after school.
I'm sure you didn't do that. I'm sure you have not done that.
No. But I've had an incident. It wasn't necessarily body shaming, but a friend of mine was being bullied because of the color of their skin. So she's darker than a lot of people around and me. And these two guys were bullying her about having dark skin. And I was like, you guys need to look at yourselves before going and telling other people that they are different or making them feel less than. Because the one guy, not to be rude, he was fat, but no one was calling him fat. And the other guy, he was okay. Not academically challenged.
Yeah. Yes. That's a better way of
putting it. Yes. And no one was telling him that he was not doing well at school. So rather focus on yourself and bettering yourself than going out and hurting other people to make yourself feel better.
And at school, I mean, do you guys address these issues with the teachers? Are you able to chat to any of them about these things?
Even if you do, they just, grow up, you're in high school, come on.
So there's no interventions.
No. if it was something like serious.
Well, that is bullying is serious.
It is.
But they don't really take it to that extent. They'd be like, can you stop bullying this child? Because she doesn't like it. And then they just push it away.
And do parents ever get involved?
At my school, they do. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have corporal punishment. Mm. So when such cases arise, then teachers are involved and then parents get called in, and it's a whole like disciplinary hearing for the bully.
And has it ever helped? I mean,
it does help.
Okay, so people change after that intervention.
They dim down. They don't exactly change, but they try keep it on the down low before like they do it again, so that they don't get in as much trouble
as they did the first time.
Yeah, but once it's on record, then they could get expelled.
Okay. Friday the 11th of October was International Day of the Girl Child, and this is why we've invited four teenagers to the studio to chat about their issues. I have Wundle, I have Uratile, and I have Humutso in the studio, and we've just been joined by another young lady, Utlochi. But before we carry on chatting to them, we have Olerato calling us from Alberton. Hi Olerato, welcome to Sidebar Cindy.
Hi Dr. Cindy, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I'm good, thanks. I'm loving this conversation. I'm a social media legal consultant, and I speak to young girls about deep issues, especially social media issues. So I'm very fascinated. I'm happy with some of the comments that the girls are making, especially relating to body shaming and bullying and cyberbullying. So I just wanted to ask a question. Seeing that they're on social media and they're on social media at such a young age, who are some of the role models that they follow on social media? Because social media is a beautiful platform, but then I find that with those that I work with, sometimes, you know, they follow, I won't say the wrong role models, but they follow girls, you know, who portray unrealistic standards. And then, you know, you get young girls then going towards being with sugar daddies so that they can try and emulate and live up to the lifestyle with the hair, the nails, the body, you know, girls feeling insecure about their look, wanting to change their look because of some of the celebrities or some of the, you know, young celebrities that they follow on social media. So I'm just interested to find out, who do they follow and do they think that they portray a good message, and do they try to imitate or emulate some of the celebrities that they follow on social media.
Okay, thank you for that, Lerato. So I think we'll let Sihle answer. Sihle has been holding since the beginning of the show. Hi, Sihle. You're 16, and welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
So, Sihle, I'm sure you heard the question that Olerato asked about social media and the people that you follow, that you look up to, or that, you know, you feel are your role models. Who are your role models on social media?
Well, right now I don't have a phone. It's a long story, but I used to follow women like Sidney Onse and Bonang Matheba and Lizzo and people who like are like goal driven and know what they want and are striving to, you know, break basically the image of what girls are supposed to be like out there nowadays. And they're getting stuff for themselves, like they're making their own money and they're not dependent on men or other people to get what they need. So I would say those are my top three.
And Lohi, welcome to the show. Who are your faves?
Viola Davis. Mm-hmm. She's legit one of the best women I've ever encountered, you know, simply because you know, she embraces the person that she is without anything. Like, there's times when she rocks weaves, and then there's times when she rocks her natural hair, you know, or when she's accepting awards and she, like, she doesn't just say, oh, thank you for this award, whatever. She says that, you know what, I was dark and I came into the industry, but, like, I'm worth it, you know, so, like.
So she's very affirming.
Yeah, you know? Quite. Like, I think she boosts someone's emotional intelligence on a very high level, so.
I would say Amanda Steinberg for me, because like I said, I am into being an actress. Mm. So she's the best for me. And she's a Black American, if for those who don't know. And she's acted in a lot of movies that I watch. And like, I want to be someone like her because her characters change most of the time, and that like I don't want to be someone who performs and I perform with the same attitude. That's going to be boring to the audience.
So you want to be very diverse.
Yes.
Okay.
Surprisingly, I do not have any role models, okay. But I do have like at certain periods of time, like it's something that comes and goes. I look up to my sister a lot because she's always been there for me. She's like my best friend. And I'm not very present on social media, so I can't really say.
And this is my choice.
Yes,
you just don't. You're not interested.
When I look at, like, when I go on social media, it's like looking at YouTube videos on people dancing or learning about Ted Bundy, or just learning about chakras and my self-discovery journey. So yeah, I'm not present that much on social media.
Okay, thanks, Ratile. And Khumutso?
For me, I think it's Lizzo, because she by far like shatters all the beauty standards that were once there in society, like long before us, you know.
It's still there.
Yeah, because she's considered fat, but then I wouldn't say that because that's her body and that's how she feels comfortable, and now makes other people like her feel extremely loved and comfortable in their own bodies. So yeah,
so I can see that. So I think the running theme is that you look up to people that make everyone feel okay about themselves. So you know, no one's shaming anyone else or making people feel lesser than they are. And so I know that I mean, the reason why you're here is to share your story about being bullied at school. Okay, so when did the bullying start?
Wow, so it's been there, like primary, high school. Yeah, I think, but mostly in primary. I think in high school you kind of get used to it, but like in primary, it's like, okay, what do I do? Like, what's happening? Type vibe, you know. But I think I was in grade 4. And I had like these huge black spots on my face. I don't even know why. But then every time like I got to school, the people in my class would be like, yeah, hello, dot dots, you know? And I'd be like, okay, why are these people calling me this? Like, what's happening? And then it got to a point where I didn't want to go to school anymore. Like, my mom would wake me up and I'd be like, I'm not going to school. I never mind, like, catch me outside type vibe, you know? and then this one time she was like, I am tired of you not going to school. You're going to school. Like, give me a good reason why you're not going to school. And it took a lot, but then I was like, you know what? It's actually, like, people are bullying me at school. She was like, okay, just, like, write down their names. And I was like, yo, I'm going to be the class snitch, but okay.
And there's also that, right?
You know, like...
That's why many cases go unreported, because you don't want to be the snitch.
Exactly. And then I wrote them down. I got to school and I was acting like everything's fine. So my mom was a cop. She comes with her school with her uniform.
Yes, that's exactly what she was going to say.
She gets there and she's like, all those people that knew that they're bullying my daughter, just stand up. Like, before I have to say anything. And then everyone is just looking around. She's like, trying to point them out. And I'm like, this woman. And then I said the names, whatever, and they all stood up and she was like, okay, well, I'm a cop and I have my gun here. So if you bully my child again, I'm going to make sure you don't have any legs, you know, like, I'm going to kill you. And from that day, like, oh, and then after she left, everyone was like, oh, I didn't know you didn't like it. And I'm like,
Why would someone like that?
But it got better after that. It's like, it was like, oh, okay, so telling my mom actually helped. But like, people still look at you in a, oh, nah, it's somewhere, and you know, she's going to tell her mommy type vibe. So it was, yeah.
And would telling the teachers have helped in any way? I mean, was there not even one teacher that you felt you could confide in and have that teacher intervene?
I think the problem is, you know, from a very young age, I've always had a problem with hurting other people's feelings. So it's always been like, this person is being mean to me because there's something they're going through, and that's fine. Like, I'm not gonna now add on to their problems, you know, regardless of how I feel. And I feel, had I not felt that way, then I probably would have done something. You know, I probably would have told the teachers, or I probably would have. But it also goes back to how we were not raised to, like, face the problems of the world. We would just rather raise, get good marks, go to school, go to, you know, not when you're bullied, this is what you should do, or when someone does this, this is and this, you know. So I think it would have been different had I had different feelings towards it. Not that I didn't trust anyone. Yeah.
And then I think the thing with bullies is that the moment you stand up for yourself, they kind of cower down. So you need to find the courage to stand up to them. But it's easier said than done.
It is.
You know, it's easy for me to say all of these things now. But when you're in that situation, you can't always act on it.
Mm-hmm.
And telling a grown-up also helps, right? I think telling parents is challenging because we just want to get out there and fight. I mean, your mummy went to school.
Exactly.
And doing that is not always the answer.
Yes.
Sometimes we need to just sit down, step back, look at the whole situation and see how we can empower you to go back to school and sort it out. So running through and fighting for you is not always the answer. I mean, I've done it. But I did it once. So the problem didn't recur. But after that, I mean, obviously spoke to my kid and it kind of empowered them on how to navigate a situation like that. So standing up to a bully is the first thing. And secondly, just have answers for what people have to say. Like, you know, work the answers out in your head. I mean, I'm chubby. You guys can see I've always been chubby. So my mommy had a whole list of things that if someone said to me, "Oh, Cindy, you're fat," I would say, "Well, but I'm clever." And then the story. And because I was, it's like, oh, okay, gulp. Okay, it's fine.
Okay,
so
next?
Yeah, so that also makes a difference. But you know, but it those words stick. Like I said earlier on in the show, words stick.
And what my mom told me, like, if you know people are going to make fun of you, why don't you make fun of yourself first? Because if they see you, see this girl, she's already laughed at herself. So
the joke is not funny.
It's not funny.
Yeah. Like,
it doesn't have the same power.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or just to respond and say, so what? If someone says to you,
exactly.
Oh, but Cindy, your nose is big. Yes, my nose is big. I can't change it.
Exactly.
So what? Yeah. So what if my nose is big? And you just move on from there, you know? And I think, you know, even on social media, I mean, I spend a lot of time on Twitter. The one thing I won't tolerate is meanness, right? So if people come onto Twitter and they're making fun of people because of their faces or their noses or their bodies and so on, you how are you making fun of something that someone didn't choose? That's what I always ask myself, that I didn't wake up and say, okay, I want to look like that. I want to have big eyes and a big head and a scar on my head and a big nose. No, I didn't. I just, my mom and my dad came together, had a baby, and this is what I look like. So that kind of meanness just gets to me, you know. Make fun of a person because, I don't know anything else but a person's looks.
Because today, this afternoon, I was with my friends and we were going through Twitter and we saw this one guy's account and it was like body shaming Anele Mdoda, and I'm like, how are you body shaming someone when you are not even posting pictures of yourself on social media? That means that you are hiding yourself from people. So where do you get the audacity to look at someone and start body shaming them and saying that they look a certain way when you don't even want to show yourself to the world? And it was,
you know, that kind of meanness is you know, is uncalled for. So Lucky, what are your future plans? I mean, I heard from the other girls, what are you currently doing and what are your plans for the future?
Hectic. I actually want to study psychology. So I was doing business management this year, but I don't know if you believe in God or but it became a thing of, okay, but is it my calling, is it my purpose, is it why I was brought on this earth? And then I decided, okay, no, Chloe, you know what, you're going to do psychology. So yeah, I'm kind of taking a break from school this year because I finished my matric last year. And then next year I am planning to do my psychology. But then with other plans besides like school, I'm actually thinking of working on my blog really this time, not just having it. And yeah, man, just being the best version of myself I can be with whatever happens, with whatever life throws.
That's great. And let's ask Sihle. Sihle, what are your plans for the future?
Currently, in drama.
Yes.
I'm doing drama this year at school, so I'm really passionate about it. It's like my best subject. So currently I'm looking at producing and directing, or maybe writing my own scripts and being on stage, because I used to do theater as a kid. So I'm really passionate about theater. So I want to get back on stage and be a drama queen, because everybody tells me I'm a drama queen. So I really miss like musical theater and just being on stage and just performing. Actually, tomorrow I have my drama practical, so I'm kind of stressing out. My words and everything. But yes, that's what I'm passionate about.
Okay. And do you guys feel, do you feel pressured to achieve your goals very quickly? Or do you realize that you have all the time in the world to do all the things that you want to do, because that's the truth. I mean, at the rates things are going in terms of health, I mean, I went to a talk and the guy there was saying that, you know, your age group will probably live to about 120.
Yeah,
so in one lifetime, you can be more than one thing. So if a psychology degree is 4 years, you could do psychology, practice it for a few years and wake up and decide, actually, I want to be a doctor and go to medical school, finish the 6 years and be a doctor for a few years. And now I want to be a lawyer now. Go back to school, be a lawyer and do that for a few years. You have that privilege. So do you feel pressured to I must do everything by the age of 25. By the age of 30, I must be this. By the age of 35, you know, what are you doing?
I don't feel pressured in that way because I have all the time in the world. But I feel pressured in getting good marks at the moment in school. Mm-hmm. I feel like my parents put so much pressure. It's like, why are you getting this mark? 70%? Exactly. Oh, wow. Like, what happened? What's happening here? Mm-hmm. So I feel a lot of pressure in doing well at school at the moment and being able to get into varsity. But with moving forward, like having so many degrees, I'm not in a rush for anything. I'm just like cruising, taking my time.
Yeah, and the thing about mocks, you know, when you get to university, this is the reality of it all, is that at high school, right, oh, you're the prefect, you're the hit girl, you're the this, you're the that. Mm-hmm. When you get to varsity,
it
nobody
exactly yeah, that's what I've heard. Like nobody knows you.
Exactly.
No one cares what
it matters. It doesn't matter really.
And you? The pressure?
Marks.
Yo.
You see, tests, I don't like them, okay? No.
They're not for everyone.
Yeah, they're not. Hey, some people are like strong in like drama and stuff, which is me. And then, yeah, that side must just
come down.
But like with marks, it's like, okay, just because I don't get good marks now doesn't mean I can succeed in the future. I mean, everything is so based on what you're getting now. You pass matric, just because you pass matric with this, this, and this, you're going to get this job, this job, this job, this field is open for only this because you did these certain subjects. Exactly. So now it's like limited. So now you have this picture, okay, what subjects must I choose? So currently I'm doing physical science, pure maths, drama, Afrikaans, English,
biology.
Life science. Yes, yes. So life science is okay. Everything else, like drama, is like my best subject. I love drama so much. And English.
Yeah.
Okay. It's English.
I don't know why we have so much pressure being put on us when they are like considering ending school at grade 9 or kids being able to drop out at grade 9. Why put so much pressure on us?
It's a thing that's been around for a while, and I'm just saying to you guys, you know what, just do the best that you can, and when you get to university, no one actually cares about
exactly.
your marks. The moment you're in first year, all of that falls away. And I mean, National School of the Arts should be a bit different from everything else, right? They're a bit more chilled out.
A lot of people think that just because you go to NSA, do you guys even learn? Do you like do maths? Do you like, yes, we are a normal school. It's just that we have professionals that help us in our art side. And yes, we learn more on our arts than our academics. And because we came to the school because we want to pursue our art side, and we also want to be smart, Nyana, so that we can get a job if like our things don't work out on the side. So being pressured into being like getting good marks and stuff, I don't really like see why I have to be pressured, because I've got the time, like you said. I've got the time, and I'm still gonna go to university afterwards, and I want to work somewhere where I feel comfortable. I can't just rush and then I go to work and I get paid but I don't like what I'm doing.
And there are a lot of people that are stuck in that hamster wheel of doing jobs that they don't like. So your gap year, I mean, how did your parents agree for you to take a gap year?
No, they didn't. I just don't go to school one day.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, no.
I'm tired.
It's not working out. No. But I think between last year and this year, I transitioned from feeling the pressure from my family to, you know, do well at this certain time, to putting the pressure on myself. You know, like, how long are you going to take to do this? Okay, you're taking this gap year, but like, are you going to get everything you need in time? Like, okay, how long after here? Like, I got into a phase of confusion, like, on a level where I was just like, okay, God, I don't know, you know? But I think most of the time it's more us putting pressure on ourselves more than it is anyone else. Because I think I was telling Osma Seho outside, Kuti, you can't control external factors.
You can't, absolutely not.
You can't control, Kuti, your mom says this, your dad says this, your uncle, your, you know, whatever they have about you. But you can control how you feel about it. I think as soon as you decide, Kuti, okay, Tlohi, I have a plan. Like, it's not like I'm just sitting and I don't have a plan. I have a plan. The fact that it's going to take 10 years, I have it. You know, some people are just sitting and not doing anything with it. And then that's how you start putting pressure on yourself and you move forward with what life gives you.
And I also think that, I mean, if I had power to change how people transition from high school to university, I'd encourage everyone to take a gap year. I think there just needs to be a gap between that pressure from high school. You take a year off. You know, and it is a privilege to take a year off, rest a bit, do other things, and then go into first year. But there's just this go, and I don't think it's necessary. Friday, 11 October was International Day of the Girl Child, and this has been commemorated since 2012. And this year's theme is Unscripted and Unstoppable. This is what the young girls of today are. And to commemorate that day, I invited 5 young girls to the studio, and I'm chatting to Tlohi, I'm chatting to Bunte, I'm chatting to Ratile and Khumutso, and we have Usihle on the line. And we've been chatting about all things that affect girls. We've spoken about body issues and insecurities. We spoke about social media and cell phones and parenting. And I'm bringing up something else now. I'd like to speak about drugs, smoking, and drinking.
Hectic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With me,
moms are in the studio, by the way. That's why there's this deafening silence.
My parents are, well, my dad drinks occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Everyone drinks occasionally.
But my mom doesn't really drink at all. Mm-hmm. But when she did used to drink, she kind of introduced the idea of alcohol to me. Mm-hmm. She was like, okay, this is what alcohol is. You can have a taste. This is what it is. Similar to my dad. Mm-hmm. This is what alcohol is. You can have a taste. So growing up, my sister kind of navigates and guides me with all. I don't do drugs. Okay. Drugs are just a no-go. But with alcohol, my sister helps guide me, and she's like, if you're gonna drink, then they should be like me or our parents around, and don't go drinking at parties because you don't know what someone might put in your drink.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's a difficult conversation for parents to have, because, I mean, I drink occasionally, every day occasionally. And I have kids, right? And my kids have asked, Mama, is champagne nice? And, you know, why do you drink it every day? Why do you drink it every other day? Mm-hmm. And then they ask, so what do you do if I drank? And so my husband and I have had this conversation about this, that are we going to, you know, when our kids turn 18, are we going to allow them to drink? Would we rather have them drink with us or drink out there? So it's a difficult conversation. It's a difficult thing because kids do what they see.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So you can talk and talk and talk and talk, but what we're doing in the household is role modeling for our children.
Yes.
You know, so Khumutsa, your parents, alcohol, drugs, smoking.
Well, smoking, drugs, no go, no area.
Yeah.
We don't talk about that because nobody does it.
Yeah.
Alcohol is like the only thing. So my dad drinks occasionally. Like, I haven't seen him drink a lot, but he does drink. And then when he does, I pour the alcohol for him because he showed me how to do it. And then one time I was like, can I please taste? Because I was curious. And then I taste, I'm like, yo, this thing is so bitter. Why are you drinking this? I don't understand.
And did you ask him?
I did.
And?
I was like, why is this so bitter? Why are you drinking it? And then he's like, well, I drink it because, I don't know, it really stresses me. Like, what stress do you... Let's talk, Dave. What stress do you have? Like, why are you drinking... It's bitter. I don't understand. Why are you drinking something that's... It's like drinking coffee without sugar.
And milk.
And I don't even drink coffee because it's... I just don't drink coffee. And then with my mom doesn't drink, but then she has alcohol in the house. I'm like, so it's there for decoration. It's fine, okay, sharp.
And these are things that we're speaking about. I mean, there's a campaign going on at the moment about how most people that drink, when they were younger, when they were underage, someone gave a sip of this, or, no, it's for fun. I'll just have a sip. And so we have to be aware of that behavior because we shouldn't actually be doing that. So that's something to keep at the back of our minds.
I feel like... most parents do allow their children to taste because
they don't want you to grow old, and then when you finally experience something, you're just gulping, and then now you're hurting yourself. So now when you like taste, you know what tastes like, okay, what, like, for example,
what beer tastes like.
Yes, yeah, exactly. What champagne tastes like, and like, so that you understand, like, when you're with your friends and you smell this or taste this, you know, okay, no, this is this, and I'm not allowed to drink this because mommy said.
Mm-hmm. And Sihle, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know, because it's like a 50-50 situation with parents and children, because as you said, it's difficult to say as a parent that, okay, they, you can't drink, you're not allowed to drink, it's not right, and then they go do it somewhere else. Whereas if you do introduce it to them, when they see it somewhere else, they can be like, okay, but my parents know, and my parents, you know, allow it, so I can do it. So it's kind of difficult, because even if you begin, some people like can't stop. But you also have to tell yourself, okay, this is the amount you're allowed to have if you do allow them to do it. Because if you don't, and they're just doing it and like behind closed doors, and you as a parent don't know, it's pretty dangerous. But it's like something you see, like a child will never just go and just take alcohol without seeing it somewhere. So it's also like up to you to hide or to show and be like, okay, this is what it is, and this is what you do, and this is how you control it, or you just hide so they have no idea and they don't want it and they don't see it.
Okay. Sohi, what are your thoughts?
Okay, I think everybody has said that drugs is like a no-go area.
Cause, so that's something that you've discussed with your parents.
Yeah. Oh, like, no, it's like a non-negotiable.
You can't come back from that.
Exactly.
Like, how do you come back from drugs?
Like, no one does it in the house. Exactly. So why would I do it?
Yeah.
Exactly. But, well, personally with me, like with drinking, I don't think, because my mom wasn't a drinker. Okay, my stepdad was, but I didn't get it from there. I think I was 16, out with my friends. So we're drinking. Okay, let's see, you know. But then after a while, like, there's a time when drinking goes from, you know, I'm speaking like such an old person. There's a time when drinking goes from I'm drinking for fun to I'm drinking to not worry about stuff. And I got to that point as well as a person. And then I got to but this is not the life that you want for yourself. Mm-hmm. It goes back to saying, Guti, you need to decide for yourself. You know, you could see it, okay, this person is drinking. Mm-hmm. Then you could decide, I don't want to drink. Like, I just don't see the points of it. Or you could not see someone and you could be going out and you're like, oh, I want to drink. And like, you know, there's nothing that we can really say. I just feel that parents have this need to constantly protect us, where else?
Well, that's because of what we've been through.
Exactly. You know, which is not a bad thing. I also feel like you need to trust the way you raised your child. So if you raise your child to, you know, be able to say no, or to be able to say this and this and that, or control themselves, then you should be able to trust that when the outside world, they'll do it. I think that's why most people go from drinking to drinking extremely, because their parents never trusted them enough in the house, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's my view on it.
Okay, so shifting gears towards the end of the show. So September was a very difficult month for South Africa. I think we all, you know what happened with Uyinene, the hashtag rest in peace Uyinene. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we had people then outing the people that had sexually assaulted them or raped them on social media. So we were all affected by that. There's not a single person that can say they didn't get affected by what happened. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so I'm going to go, each of you in turn before we wrap up the show. What are your thoughts around gender-based violence and sexual assault? And do you have someone in your life where if something was to happen to you, you know that you can trust that person to believe you the first time around and make sure that you get the help that you need? So just short answers from each of you. I'll start with you, Khumotso.
With this whole situation, I really don't understand what is going on in your mind for you to be so narrow-minded to say that men are inferior, like, are more empowered. Like, we're in a different generation. Come on, it's the 21st century. So much has changed. Can you, like, get your mind straight? It's all about the mindset. If you are like, they're like, no, I'm more stronger than you. I'm going to be this. I have the power to do that because I am a male. That's disgusting, honestly, if I'm telling the truth. And I've discussed this with many of my friends, and we just, like, don't talk about it because it just makes us so angry. And it's like,
it's no, it's just I don't like it at all.
And do you have someone that you know that if I went to that person and said, listen, I have been sexually assaulted or I was raped by Mang Mang, that person would believe you the first time around?
Yes, my mother, my father. Yes, my grandmother. Yo, they hunt that person down.
I recently had an interview with the MMC of Health and Social Development Department, and we were discussing femicide and gender-based violence. I just think that it's the social construct that the society has laid out for us. We are just following to the rules of people that we don't know who set them. It's just something that's there. And as soon as we break that down and break society's stereotypes on males and females, then we will get to a better place where gender-based violence won't matter, and issues such as femicide and what is the word called? Like just looking down on people or homophobia will end.
The discrimination,
discrimination. Everything. And I have someone I do believe that will believe me the first time I go and tell them that something like this has happened to me. My sister, and I have close friends and people I trust at school, and I also know like helplines to call. That
With this men being more superior than women, it started like a very long time ago when we were being colonized, because let's not talk about that. But yes, that's when it started. And now, because people are seeing what's really happened to women, it's now been women this, women that, women this, and then most of the men are complaining. They shouldn't be complaining, because it's been about them for a very long time. And so now they should let us be us, and maybe at some certain point we'll be level. And yeah, and the person that I would talk to about something is my mom and my dad, but mostly my mom.
And mama would believe you and take action.
Should.
And Tokhi, before you wrap up?
I honestly think that, it's hectic. It's a matter of, I feel like men that do such things are men that feel very lowly about themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a matter of taking their power back. And the only way they feel they're able to do that is by, you know, because like sometimes a man is stronger than you. You can't fight it off. Mm. You understand? So I feel like
physically,
it's one of those,
physically,
you know. Mm-hmm. And what she said about it going back, like way back, I was reading this book, like a Greek mythology book. And apparently there was a Greek goddess that was raped, and then she turned ice cold, and everybody wondered why, you know, but like nobody said anything. And I'm like, okay, so this thing has been going on for a long time. What are we doing that's different to stop this whole thing? Because we can't use old methods, you know. Bring back the death penalty anyway. I had to say that. And I actually have a friend, like, yeah, he's the most supportive person. And I think, yeah, if I went to him and I told him, hey, yo, bruh, this is what happened, he wouldn't just believe me. He'd be like, we're going to the police station. We're doing everything we have to do. And yeah, that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. We've run out of time. I think we should have this show again.
Yeah, we definitely have.
We have a lot of follow-on stuff to talk about. But thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you to your moms for allowing you to be here, because we did get permission for your moms. Wouldn't have invited you if they had said no.
School night.
It's 8 o'clock.
I have a test tomorrow.
Assignment.
Right. Well, and I hope all your dreams come true.
Sidebar with Cindy.
Every Monday to Thursday, 7 to 8 p.m. on Kaya FM 95.9.
Rewinding
Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.